Some days you want a little extra oomph to your usual look. Whether that's lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions mascara or awakening your eyes with a lasting lift and soft color with the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Whether you want a simple, just got to get out of the door routine or full glam, you'll always look and feel like the best version of yourself with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26. From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Hello and the warmest of welcomes to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science here on UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station with me, Michelle Hammond. It is such a thrill to be here and to have your company for this, my very first show. So a huge thank you for joining me and a huge thank you to Johan and the whole UK Health Radio team. In today's show, we're going to be exploring the root of modern disease, or as I titled the episode, the forgotten root of modern disease. I'll also be joined by the incredible woman that is Sian Jones, MBE no less, who is also the founder of a wonderful company called Chuckling Goat. And no, this is not some rare talent of comedic goats being trained up for the next edition of Britain's Got Talent. It's an incredible company dedicated to harnessing the potency of pure kefir to enable you and I to keep the magic of our microbiome alive and thriving. To wrap up the show, I'll also share some practical ways you can apply all the wisdom that we talk about today into your daily life, simply and effectively, because living well shouldn't be costly or complicated. Before we dive into today's topic, seeing as this is our very first show together, let me share with you a little bit about me. I'm a mum to two brilliant humans, Josh, who's 15, and Emily, who's 9. We live in the south of Oxfordshire, here in the UK, although my partner's Italian, because I somehow managed to persuade him to swap Veneto for life here to raise our kids. I think he thought it might be glamorous and maybe even an adventure, but actually life mostly revolves around school runs, football boots and forgotten homework. And of course, let's not talk about the grey, wet or windy weather, especially this last couple of months, because actually I don't think he's ever really quite acclimatised to that. Although actually thinking about it, I'm not sure I have, or any of us have we? We have contemplated a return to Europe for better weather many times over the years, but actually if you have kids and those roots are down and those friendships are formed, you'll know just how tricky the reality of uprooting can be. And we've now found wonderful Wallingford. So I think we've accepted we won't be going anywhere else anytime soon. Professionally, I started out as a complementary therapist, practicing a wide variety of touch-led techniques, movement-based practices, and psychodynamic therapies. And over the years, that evolved into managing, directing, and even designing luxury spa and wellness hotels and resorts around the world, and working with incredible luxury brands, building my own global health and wellbeing consultancy and education company. But when COVID hit, something shifted. I felt a real pull back to community, to local. I wanted to make much more of a tangible impact. So now, alongside my consultancy and educational work, I practice Chinese medicine and psychotherapy in my private clinic a couple of days a week, which feels like such a privilege. I also founded and edit our community wellbeing magazine, and I'm working with the town to launch our first experiential wellbeing festival this October. So you'll currently find me out with my begging bowls and trying to activate my best sales tactics to try and bring in the necessary sponsorship right now, so we can strive to keep the festival free, inclusive and accessible to all. Because for me, wellbeing only really matters if we can all access it and we all benefit from it. And that's part of why this show exists. But enough about me for now. We'll hopefully get to know much more about each other as we journey along together from episode to episode. But let me just say, if something resonates in this show or any future show, if you have questions or there's a guest you'd love me to speak to or a topic you'd like me to cover, I would genuinely love to hear from you. So please do reach out. You'll find all my contact details in the show notes alongside where you found this episode. Right, let's get on with the show. So let me start with a question. What if one of the oldest ideas in medicine turned out to be one of the most relevant? Now, stay with me. Because over 2,000 years ago, a Greek physician named Hippocrates, sometimes referred to as the father of modern medicine, said something that still echoes today. He said, "All disease begins in the gut." Now, when you hear that today, it can sound a bit dramatic, can't it? A bit sweeping. But in his time, it was really rather radical. Because actually, before Hippocrates, people thought illness came from the gods, punishment, fate, divine displeasure. And he said, no, disease has natural causes. The body follows patterns. Health can be observed, studied, influenced. And this was revolutionary, quite rebellious, actually. He shifted medicine away from superstition and toward systematic inquiry. And at the centre of his thinking was digestion. Not because he had a microscope or understood bacteria, but because he understood transformation. What you take in must be transformed well, or imbalance follows. Now, here's where it gets interesting. While Hippocrates was developing this in Greece, an entirely separate and sophisticated medical system was evolving in China. Classical Chinese medicine, later written down in texts like the Huangdi Neijing, also placed digestion and balance at the centre of health. Different language, different metaphors, but the same core principle. If the centre is strong, vitality follows. If the centre weakens, dampness accumulates, stagnation follows, and illness emerges. Two systems, no shared WhatsApp group, no conferences, and yet both concluded the internal environment matters, and that health is not simply the absence of disease, but the result of balanced transformation. So, what happened? If ancient systems placed digestion at the heart of health, why did modern medicine move away from that idea? Well, here's the truth. Modern medicine became extraordinarily good at saving lives. From the 17th century onward, anatomy advanced, microscopes improved, and germ theory emerged. We discovered that specific pathogens caused specific diseases. And that discovery changed everything. It meant we could identify the bacteria responsible for tuberculosis, the virus responsible for smallpox, and the microbes behind cholera. For the first time in history, we could intervene with precision. Antibiotics were developed, vaccinations transformed survival, and surgery became safer. This wasn't a mistake, it was progress. But in becoming brilliantly reductionist, isolating single causes for single diseases, something was quietly sidelined. And that was the concept of terrain. The idea that the internal environment determines how the body responds. For decades, bacteria were framed primarily as enemies, and for acute infections, the mission became eradication. And for acute infections, that approach was life-saving. But chronic disease tells a different story. Because today we're not primarily dying from infectious diseases, are we? Thank goodness. But we're struggling and facing rising rates of autoimmune conditions, metabolic disorders, anxiety and depression, inflammatory illnesses. And these conditions rarely have single cause explanations. They're systemic, they're complex, and they're rarely caused by just one thing. They're influenced by our diet, stress, the environment, sleep, social connection, and we'll talk much more about that in the next episode, and increasingly, as we now know, by the health of the microbiome. And here's the part that still absolutely blows my mind. You have roughly as many microbial cells in your body as human cells. Actually, you're not just you. You're a whole ecosystem. And projects like the Human Microbiome Project, which mapped trillions of the microbes that are living in and on us, and researchers like Tim Spector through Zoe have shown something fascinating. Two people, even identical twins, can eat the exact same meal and have completely different blood sugar responses. Even healthy foods affect us differently. Now, not that it's healthy, but I always knew my body could metabolize cake better than most. Yet, seriously, the trillions of microbes living in your gut don't just help digest food. They influence metabolism, they communicate with our brains, and they shape the immune system. So terrain thinking becomes less about, is this food healthy? And more specifically about, is it healthy for you? That's ancient wisdom meeting modern science. Hippocrates may not have understood DNA sequencing, actually most of us probably don't, but he understood balance. Modern medicine mastered crisis intervention, but now we're rediscovering the art of cultivation. Not just what attacked the body or what pathogens caused this, but what internal environment allowed this to take hold. And that is where this conversation becomes very real. Because someone who embodies this in the most grounded, practical way I know is my guest today, Sian Jones, MBE, founder of Chuckling Goat, one of the UK's leading voices in practical gut health. She hasn't just studied the microbiome, she's lived it. Through critical illness, through farming, through hands-on experience. So after this break, you're going to hear from someone who understands terrain not as a theory, but as a lived reality. I promise you, you do not want to miss it. So stay with us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, here on UK Health Radio. As promised, I'm now joined by the wonderful Sian Jones, MBE, founder of Chuckling Goat. Sian, it is so lovely to have you with us. I've just been talking about Hippocrates and telling my stories and that enduring idea that disease may begin in the gut. So before we go any further, when we say microbiome, help us understand, what are we actually talking about?
Well, your microbiome is a collection of microorganisms sitting inside your gut that weighs between 1 and 2 kilograms. Now, that's 2 to 4 pounds. That's about the weight of your brain, except this organ is not sitting in your skull. It lines your gut. And it contains tens of trillions of microorganisms. So you've got 1,000 different species of bacteria alone, but there are also archaea and fungi and viruses and protozoa. So really, you're not just a body, you're a living ecosystem.
I love the idea that we're ecosystems and that health is about finding balance within that ecosystem. And I remember you once telling me, Sian, the story about Yellowstone Park, which was such a vivid and beautiful way to understand that concept. I wonder if you'd share that again so everyone listening can picture what might be happening in their own inner garden and with their microbiome.
Sure, I love that story. The powerful thing about biomes is that they're a fractal, and a fractal means it's a pattern that can scale up or scale down. So a biome inside your gut is a microbiome, and in the wider world, it can be a planetary biome or an ecosystem like Yellowstone. And the nice thing is, if you don't understand something at one level, you can scale it up or down, and it can help you understand how things work. Yeah. So here's the story about Yellowstone. Back in the day, Yellowstone was an area of such outstanding natural beauty and diversity that everyone agreed it should be set aside and saved as a park forevermore. Great. Only one problem. There were wolves. Mm. Obvious issues there. So they said, right, we got to get rid of all the wolves. And they did, with such enthusiasm that by 1926, the last wolf had been taken out of Yellowstone. Great. Everybody thinks this is wonderful. Yeah. The only problem is when the wolves were gone, the population of elk went crazy and started overgrazing the trees. And the trees started releasing the soil from the riverbank and killing off the fish. And the beaver that used the wood from the trees to make their dams started to disappear. And so the fish died off and the birds that ate the fish died off. And the plants that came from the seeds carried by the birds died off. Wow. And even the microbes in the soil began to die off. And Yellowstone began to deteriorate. Now, this is what we call a trophic collapse. Mm. And it means that it is an impact that begins at the top of the ecosystem and works its way down in ways that you cannot anticipate. You don't know how it's going to play out through the entire ecosystem. So this was tragic. They tried to correct it by culling the elk herds with human effort. You know, the park officials were trying to cull the elk. But yeah, turns out human beings don't hunt elk in the same way that wolves do.
Yeah.
So in 1995, they took an incredibly courageous, I think, and controversial decision to reintroduce the wolves into Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. You can imagine the meetings that went on and the objections that they had to deal with this concept. But they did it, and they reintroduced the wolves into Yellowstone. And guess what happened? This vicious spiral turned into a virtuous one. The wolves went back in, they started hunting the elk. The elk population diminished and the trees came back. When the trees came back, the beaver came back. When the beaver came back, the fish came back, the birds came back, the plants came back, the microorganisms in the soil bounced back, and Yellowstone bloomed again. Now that is a story of a triumphal response in an area where, frankly, we don't see a lot of wins. Yeah. And so that story of success, I think, is a powerful one that we need to keep in mind. That's what happens inside your gut. And that's what happens when you take antibiotics, for example. You're taking out the wolves.
Amazing. It doesn't matter how many times I hear you tell that story. It's always so vivid and powerful. But Sian, you didn't become an expert in this field purely through theory. I mean, your journey was shaped by some very real life experiences. First supporting your son Benjamin's health, which is what introduced you to kefir, wasn't it? And later helping to save your husband's life when he contracted MRSA. Would you tell us a little bit about those pivotal moments and how they shaped the path you're on today?
Sure. I learned first about kefir with my son, who, as you say, he was having a lot of bronchial infections. I was taking him in to get antibiotics, and I noticed that it was just recurrent more and more frequently. You know, I'd take him in, and then 6 months later, I'd need to take him in again. And then 4 months later, I'd need to take him in. It just seemed we were in this vicious spiral. So my husband said, let's get a goat. And I said, why? Our son is ill and you say get a goat and this makes no sense to me. But of course, in the Welsh tradition, it is well known that goat's milk is good for breathing issues. Turns out there is scientific basis to that. But at the time, I just took his word for it. So we got a goat, started milking the goat. It did help with his bronchial infections. Then I had too much goat's milk and I didn't know what to do with it. And my girlfriend said, turn on the radio. There's someone talking about goat's milk. It was Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. She came from Russia, and that's how she knew about kefir. And this was back in 2012, and nobody had ever heard of kefir. I hadn't heard of it. It was not in the supermarkets as it is today. And so I thought, oh, I could do that with the goat's milk. So we started making that. We were trying to sell it. We'd go to these health food shops, and we'd say, hey, here's the stuff. You've never heard of it. It's not sweetened and it tastes really tangy and fermented, huh? And they're like, yeah, no. come on. They're like, no. So we really were struggling. My husband had had colitis for many years. He went into the hospital with a perforated colon. He came out without his colon, but with an MRSA infection down the midline of his body.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was incredibly frightening. The doctor came over to the house, looked at it and said, I don't have any experience of anything of this magnitude. I think you need to contact the surgeon. I was like, okay. So we contacted the surgeon. You know, we went in to see the surgeon. He said, there's nothing I can do for you. MRSA is not only resistant, it's methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which means it's resistant to antibiotics. So there wasn't anything to give him, but also he said, the problem is it colonizes all over the body. So yeah. You could dip rich in bleach and it would still, some bugs would stay under his fingernails, behind his ears, you know, in his scalp, and they would regrow. So you basically can't get rid of them. It was like, okay. So what do we do? And he's like, I don't really have any suggestions for you.
Wow.
So we went home and I thought, well, so what now? MRSA is contagious. They wouldn't let him back into the hospital. I couldn't even put him in hospice. Like, what, does this man now die on my sofa? Because I, you know, where physically do I put him? And at some point, I realized that the scientific information that I was reading, because I was frantically researching, looking for answers, it was all in the frame of war. Yeah. It was all expressed with this incredible aggression. You know, we kill them, they kill us. We kill them and then they kill us more. You know, it's just round and round. And we were obviously losing this battle. And I thought, you know what? I'm not a doctor, but I'm a communicator and I know about communication frames. This frame of warfare is a loser. I'm never going to win this. I can't kill all the bacteria.
Yeah.
So what if I ask a different question? What if I ask, what's the opposite of war? And I was like, oh, you know, unicorns, happy dances, rainbows, allies. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Allies. What if I had microbial allies who could not kill off all the bad bugs, but just control them, suppress them, like the wolves bringing the elk back into control. See, elk, there's nothing wrong with them. They're not bad. It's just there were too many of them. It was out of balance. And I knew that kefir worked that way inside the gut. I thought it might work that way on the skin as well. I didn't know. But at this point, he was fading in and out of consciousness. And I thought, well, all right, I'm not going to sit here and just watch him die. We have to try something. So I put the kefir all over his skin, not on the wound itself, I would like to note, because I was too scared. I thought if it causes gangrene or something, then it's my fault and I can't face that. But all over the rest of the body, because the surgeon had said it, you know, colonizes everywhere. And sure enough, 3 days later, the holes that were getting deeper and deeper that were being eaten by the superbugs into his wound stopped getting deeper. They then got shallower. The wound dried up and healed. He got up out of bed and got onto his tractor, and he's been there ever since.
Wow. It still moves me hearing how you were able to support Rich through that. And of course, through helping both your son and your husband, Chuckling Goat was born. And today it is recognised as a leading provider of kefir and a trusted voice in gut health here in the UK. I know you've now written several books on the microbiome, and you've guided Chuckling Goat into what it is today. So with all that knowledge and all that expertise, what do you believe is really damaging our microbiome the most? What are the everyday things we're doing, often without realising, that might actually be harming it? I know you've already mentioned antibiotics as one important factor.
Well, ultra-processed foods, of course, UPFs, are incredibly damaging. So that is going to be a problem because, that food is, if it's beige. If you think about the color of processed food, it's kind of brown and beige. And what you want, an easy way to think about this, you want diversity for your gut. Your gut bugs require lots of different fiber. The more colorful, the better. So if you think about eating a rainbow, for example, you're not going to go far wrong. You know, the blue foods, the red foods, and I'm talking about fruit and vegetables here now. I'm not talking about Smarties. these things are going to provide different kinds of phytonutrients, different kinds of fiber. And the microbiome, as well as society itself, thrives on diversity. Mm. If you eat the same five foods every day, your microbes will become less diverse. Less diversity equals less resilience in your immune system. And this is a really important thing for people to understand about their microbiome. It's not just your digestion. 70% of your immune system sits inside the gut lining. The microbiome educates immune cells. It teaches them what is friend from foe. Mm. It impacts inflammation. It impacts allergies, energy, your muscles, your skeletal system, your skin. I mean, as I learned, your skin is a biome and it's connected to your gut. You're one thing. You're all connected. And so it impacts your mental health, your mood, your energy, all of those things all start from the microbiome. So if you feed your gut bugs what it is that they like to eat, then they will respond by giving off these anti-inflammatory short-chain fatty acids that reduce inflammation and make your body sing. So that's the concept.
It feels like one of the most practical things people can do now is actually assess their microbiome. And I know you work quite closely with some of the advancing technologies that allow us to do that. Tell us a little bit about how that works and what people can learn from those kind of insights.
We do. We actually have my lead scientist now is from Nottingham University. She's with us full time, Dr. Amrita Vijay, brilliant microbiologist, and it's fantastic to have her on my speed dial. So we're doing trials. We've done a big trial at Nottingham. What we found is that a combination of our kefir and our prebiotic outperforms inulin and outperforms omega-3 as a dietary supplement to reduce inflammation inside the body. And this is
amazing.
Yes, it is amazing and really exciting. So we've just published this and this is on Science Daily. You can go and look it up there. So I would say to keep it really simple, the best thing you can do is add a powerful probiotic.
Yeah.
Yes, you need more fiber and that's all important, but it can be a little bit confusing. A powerful, high-grade, therapeutic probiotic will put the good bugs into your system, and the good bugs will then suppress the bad bugs. You need those allies in your system, and that's the place to start. Once you do that, you're going to start feeling better, more energy, better mood. Your sugar cravings will actually get less, and then you'll find it easier to eat a good diet. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a great place to start. Not taking something out, which can be difficult, but adding something in, which will start your virtuous spiral.
I remember a conversation we had a few years ago where you said something that really stayed with me. You talked about how we live in a time where many people are searching for quick fixes, but restoring health and balance is much more like farming or gardening. It takes patience, attention, and an understanding of seasonality and nature. Would you share a little more about that perspective?
Well, you've put it beautifully, actually. People want a pill. They want an instant fix. But you cannot kill your way to good health. It is a process of slow connection, just like a garden. You don't go into your garden and go, okay, I'm going to fix my garden. You go, I'm going to improve it. I'm going to add things to it. I'm going to enhance the ecosystem here. And that's exactly the same for your gut. It's like you've asked me for an apple and I'm going to hand you an apple seed and say, here, plant this and water it. And you say, but I need the apple now. You know, you got to plant the apple, water it, wait for the tree to grow. It's a slow process on the timeline of gardening or farming. Having said that, we have the study from Nottingham that shows that within 6 weeks, you do have a boost in energy and mental well-being. So that part happens quite quickly. Mm. Yeah, which is wonderful and exciting. And then all of the other things improve in kind of a conch-like spiral. Skin tends to be the last. People with rosacea, it can take up to 18 months to see an improvement there. And you've got to stick to it. But, you know, it's the discipline of slow improvement over time.
I think that's such an important point. As you say, we've developed this kind of quick fix mentality, haven't we? And often driven by pills and procedures that promise immediate results. And people often feel that if they try something for a few days and don't feel dramatically different, it mustn't be working. But actually, we have to realise that real sustainable change can take time, does take time, energy, and a great deal of nurture. After all, we are trying to retend that inner garden, aren't we? We're not transforming the landscape overnight. So, Sean, as we begin to conclude this session, what's one thing you wish people better understood that we haven't yet touched on?
I think the real takeaway that I want people to have is this idea that you can kill something overnight, but you can't grow it overnight. Mm. You've got to engage and participate with your system with the understanding that it is a living, complex system. Yeah. And living, complex systems build intelligence by increasing connection. That's how it works. So you need to act in a way that's going to increase connection inside your gut so that your immune system can moderate itself. It really is exactly like a garden. Doesn't happen overnight. Happens by putting the good things in. You wouldn't just spray everything with Roundup and leave it. You've got to put in the flowers and the trees and tend them. Your gut is exactly the same.
So beautifully put, Sean. Thank you. It is always such a pleasure speaking with you. Your passion and knowledge and the determination behind the story of Chuckling Goat are so incredibly inspiring. And I just want to thank you for the work you and your whole team are doing, because it's making a real difference to so many people's lives and well-being. And I hope those listening with us today feel empowered by this conversation and perhaps reminded that when it comes to our health, the gut really is a powerful place to begin.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It was a pleasure.
Well, what an absolute inspiration Sean is. And if today's conversation is resonating with you, do take a look at chucklinggoat.co.uk. Alongside their traditionally made kefir and their microbiome-friendly skincare, the site is genuinely full of practical insight and educational resources to help you better understand your own gut health. After the break, I'm going to be bringing today's conversation together and sharing a few simple evidence-informed steps you can start applying straight away. Small shifts that can make a meaningful difference to your day-to-day health. And I'll also share an exclusive discount code for UK Health Radio listeners that you can use across the Chuckling Goat website. So stay with us.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, here on UK Health Radio. So today we began with Hippocrates and that striking idea that all disease begins in the gut. And what Sian brought so beautifully to life is that the gut isn't just an organ, it's an ecosystem. And like any ecosystem, when we support balance and diversity, the whole system tends to thrive. But one more important thing to remember is this. The microbiome doesn't only respond to what you eat. It also responds to how you live. So stress affects it. Sleep affects it. Movement, nature, connection, they all shape the terrain. So if you're wondering where to start, think simple shifts done consistently. Otherwise, it just feels overwhelming, doesn't it? Some of the things you might consider are things like eating a wider variety of plant foods across the week, introducing real fermented foods slowly and gently. And remember Sian's point about, you know, sugar-free, sweet, unsweetened, unflavoured. Feeding your microbiomes the fibre, whether that's through beans or berries or seeds or vegetables. Slowing down and monotasking when you eat and giving your digestion a chance. It's one of the quickest, easiest and a free hack that makes a massive difference. Spending time outdoors and around natural environments. Moving your body regularly and prioritising good sleep, as well as reducing those unnecessary antibiotics, sugars and ultra-processed foods where you can. We're not looking for perfection, just better conditions for the ecosystem you carry inside you. And if today's conversation sparked your curiosity, you can explore Sian's work. Their traditionally made kefir, microbiome testing and skincare at chucklinggoat.co.uk. And remember, as a listener of Ancient Wisdom Modern Science, you can use the code UKHealth20 for 20% across their entire website. That's UKHealth20, all capital letters, all as one word, for 20% off across their website. Now, that's not just for this week. That's for the whole of 2026, an offer made available to you right here on UK Health Radio. So perhaps the question to leave you with today is simply this. What is one small thing you could do this week that would make your internal ecosystem feel just a little more loved and supported? Until next time, keep it simple, make it practical, and most importantly, turn that wisdom into micro actions. I'm Michelle Hammond, and this has been Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science on UK Health Radio. In the next episode, we'll explore something just as vital as gut health, human connection, and why it may be one of the most powerful and perhaps most underprescribed health interventions we have. If today's episode resonated with you, please do share it. And join me next time as we continue exploring where wisdom and evidence meet. And if you're a complementary health or touch-led practitioner looking to deepen your knowledge and develop dynamic yet safe, clinically grounded, hands-on skills, you can learn more about my training programs at tpot.org.uk. That's tpot.org.uk. You'll also find ways to connect with me in the show notes. And if you're looking for one-to-one health and well-being support, you can find me at michellehammond.co.uk.